It's going to be very short. It's just like...
The weight of authority on this man.
Look.
You'll be teaching from here.
All right, I'm going to sit down.
Yeah,
I will sit. I'll stand probably also. In worship, I got a word for you, Israel. What I saw the Lord revealing was that he showed me there were seven different scrolls that represent seven different seasons of your life, and how scroll number one had been completed, and you were into the beginning of scroll number two. And with that, in the last season of your life, in scroll number one, there was a lot of red lights. There was a lot of stops. There was a lot of shutdowns. But now that you are in scroll number two in the next season of your life, you're going to see more green lights. You're going to see more things accelerating. And so don't judge what you are in now compared to what you were in. Thank you so much. Because where you are now, with the greens and the accelerations, is that in season number one, with scroll number one, it was about the preparation of your heart. And that's why there were so many stops and so many red lights. But where you are now, as you're posturing your heart toward Him and toward the kingdom and toward His desire and His passion, that is filled and fueled with green lights and accelerations. And what would have taken multiple years to accomplish, you're going to see accomplished in a very short time. So just be encouraged of where you are now, and where God has brought you from, and what He is taking you into, because this is your time of rapid acceleration, multiple green light after green light after green light. The hindrances and the delays are over. You are in the season, the time of acceleration and green lights.
Amen.
All right. Whew. I was like, I wanted to stop worship, and I was like, wait a minute, I got this. It's like, I can't wait to share this. But there's just, I just honor you guys, and I honor this house. I honor Craig and our relationship that we have together for many years. And I just honor you, what the Lord is doing in this house. It's just always such an honor and a privilege to be here and to be a part of this time together. And I think every time that I come here, I say this, but it's always true. I have like 15 messages that are possibilities, and then I have them all on my computer screen. All I got to do is click, 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 click. And I'm like, I don't know really which way to go, other than 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, when Pastor Craig, he and I were talking, and he said, hey, I would like for you, I'm going to be in the DR, I would like for you to come on April the 13th and just share if you're available. I'm like, I'm always available for you. I'm always available for RC. I love it. And so right after we had talked, that night I had a dream. And you guys know me, I'm a dreamer. And in the dream, I saw this service. And as I saw the service, I saw a couple of things in there. And one of the things that I saw in the dream that I just want to, as a prophetic act, just do it. It was just so interesting. I was talking. I remember one time in that dream, I was talking a little bit about John chapter number 10, verse number 9, where Jesus says, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and will live. He will come in and go out freely and find pasture. I remember I was talking about that. And in the dream, I just had everybody to stand up. And as everybody stood up, I know. We're fixing to do it. I'm just telling you, I'm just going to tell you what we're going to do before we do it. Everybody stood up, and I said, I just want you to picture this. The Lord Jesus is the door, and by Him we are going into the realm of the Spirit, into the dimension of the kingdom of heaven, and bringing that reality back into here and now. And I remember telling you guys, some of you guys are going to see things, some of you guys are going to experience things. I want you to get ready to write the things that you see, get ready to write the things that you experience. And we were talking through that, and everybody stood up, and as we stood up, I said, now take a step forward. Everybody started taking a step forward. Some people took two or three steps forward. But about half, as we did that, about half of the people in the room just disappeared. And I was like, huh, they're really doing this. Not just with their spirit, but they're taking their whole body into this encounter. I don't know, just as a prophetic act tonight, I want us to stand, and I want you to get to a place to where if you're able to take at least a step, and I just want you to I don't want you to close your eyes yet, because I want you to make sure you know where you're going, and I want you just to imagine with me what Jesus, the Lord Jesus, said in John chapter number 10. He says, I am the door. What does that door, what does the door of the Lord Jesus Christ look like to you? He says, I am the door, and anyone who enters through me will be saved. That word saved is sozo. Interesting word. It means to make whole, to rescue from disease and its effects, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from destruction, to have health and wholeness restored. It not only includes the forgiveness of sin, but it also includes healing, wholeness, complete recovery, including physical, emotional, spiritual healing, and deliverance from demons. He says, if you enter by me, you will be saved. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get all of that. And you're going to come in and go out freely and find pasture. So I want you just to see with me that the Lord Jesus is the door that we go into. And by Him, we go in and find pasture. We feed and we feast on the body of the Lord Jesus, on the blood of the Lord Jesus. We feed, we feast on Him. We go in and we go out and we find pasture. When we go in, we are saved. We are sozo, complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Spirit, soul, body. I want you just to take a step forward. And as you begin to step forward, just act. You are just actively moving into and through the door, which is Jesus Christ, to begin to experience everything that He has for you, including sozo, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken, spirit, soul, body. So right now, we go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, and we experience sozo. We experience salvation that comes from Yeshua. We experience that salvation right here, right now. Spirit, soul, body. In the name of Jesus, we just thank You. We go in, we feed, we feast on You. Now let's take a step back. Now we go back and we begin to manifest. We begin to bring the reality of the kingdom of heaven here now. So it's on earth just like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. My Savior. My healer. My provider. Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. First John chapter number 3, verse number 1 says this. Behold. That word behold means pay attention. Listen to. It says, behold. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I want to make this declaration together. Would you say it with me? Say, behold.
Behold.
Say it like you mean it. Behold.
Behold.
We are
the manifested
sons of God. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say it to all creation. Behold, we are the manifested sons of God. One more time. Behold, we are the manifested sons of God. Hallelujah. He said, all creation is groaning, longing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When is our confession going to come into alignment with what He has already said and what He is saying? 1 John 3:1, the Word says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called, and we should be calling ourselves that, the sons of God. So, if all of creation is longing, groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, I think it's probably about time that we start stepping into the confession of that. And as we are saying, behold, we are saying, listen, all of creation, pay attention, listen to what is getting ready to be released out of our mouths. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We just come into agreement with what He's already said about it. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So, as we go into this, it is, and Jan had mentioned that a little bit in our time together earlier. Of course, many of you know today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is definitely the beginning of the holiest of all weeks for believers around the world. Believers around the world are celebrating tonight, today, as we go into the most holy week for all believers, as we reflect on the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the events that led up to the crucifixion, the events that led up to the burial and the resurrection. It's a time that we reflect on just how great a price that was given for us to be, 1 John 3:1, be called sons of God. And His love was manifested in that manner that we're called sons of God. Okay? So as we're thinking about this, we're reflecting on this. So those of you that were with us this morning, you're going to get a little bit of repeat on some of this stuff. But I want you just to, we learn through repetition. And so Mike and I were talking, like, hey, we learn through repetition. So in Matthew chapter number 21, verses number 2 and 3, Palm Sunday begins with the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples. And He's like, hey guys, I need 2 volunteers. And what I want you to do, I want you to go into the town next to us. I want you to go to Eton, and I want you to go to Eton, and you're going to go down Floodtown Road, and you're going to see this donkey that's tied up to a tree. And when you see the donkey that's tied up to a tree, I want you to go up. I want you to untie it. And the guy who owns the donkey, believe you me, he's going to stop you. But here's what you tell him when he stops you. The master has need of it. Okay. All right. So Sean and I, we head down. We go to Floodtown Road. Sure enough, there's a donkey tied up to a tree. We pick it up. Sure enough, the guy comes out and says, "Hey, what you doing with my donkey?" We say, "Hey, the master has need." Ah, okay. So, I mean, could you imagine what it would be like to be in the life of a disciple of Jesus in the day that Jesus was in the flesh on the earth? It's stuff like that that's nonstop. And I think he wants to take us as disciples back to that time, to where in this time, we see in this time what they experienced in that time. The awe, the wonder, the glory, the splendor of walking with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And so as they bring the donkey, it's really interesting that he chose a donkey. For one reason, he chose the donkey because it was the fulfillment of the prophecy from the prophet Zechariah that the king would come riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, because he's coming in peace. He's not coming to wield the sword, to chop everybody up in pieces. He's coming in peace. But what's funny about Jesus is Jesus says so many things that you're like, "Jesus, what do you mean by that?" Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. He says stuff where you're like, "Jesus, what are you talking about?" Because just a couple of verses prior to him saying, "I am coming into Jerusalem in peace," a couple of verses prior to that, he says, why are you looking at me to bring peace? I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. I've come to set brother against brother and father against mother and set war. And then in the very next verse, he says, "Yeah, I'm coming to bring peace." And I'm like, "Which are you coming to do, Jesus? Is it peace? Is it war?" I think it's peace for what needs in areas that need to be peace. I think it's war for areas that need war. How can it not be both? So as we look into this, he uses this donkey, and he brings the donkey, and I just like to look at that as he's always using vehicles of grace, the most unlikely things in our life. You know, the Bible says that that there's about 12 different ways that we can get wisdom. And one of the ways is, he said, if you walk with wise men, you will become wise. So we have wisdom by association. And he says, but the companion of a fool will be destroyed. So there's sometimes that the Lord will say, "Okay, here we are. If you want to be wise, walk with wise men." And I like what my cousin Reagan said. He says, in your group, if you can't recognize the donkey, it's probably because you're that. And I said, that's probably correct. You know, sometimes the Lord uses the donkeys to bring things into our life, but sometimes we're the donkeys. I think it's funny that Balaam, when he was riding on his donkey, as Balaam was riding on his donkey, there's the angel of the Lord with the sword drawn, getting ready to chop him up in pieces, and the donkey was just stubborn. It wouldn't go any further, and Balaam starts beating the donkey. And finally it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the donkey, and the donkey started talking, and it just reminded me of Shrek. You know, Shrek and donkey having this conversation back and forth. It's like I'm seeing Shrek in my mind when I'm reading the story of Balaam and the donkey talking. And the donkey's like, "Hey, why are you hitting me? You know, have I not served you all of these years? Haven't I been good to you? Let me tell you why that I am not moving. Let me tell you why I'm being stubborn. It's because there's an angel in front of you." And then the donkey prays for Balaam. that his eyes would be open, and then Balaam sees the angel. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The Bible is just full of incredible things. And Balaam's eyes is open, and he sees the angel, and he repents. And so what I'm saying is, sometimes there are these stubborn people and these stubborn situations in our life that we think that are holding us back, that are actually preventing us from being destroyed. And Jesus uses a donkey to ride into the city in this ride of triumph, in this ride of victory. And as he was riding in, the second thing that we see is he says that the people started taking the palm branches, cutting the palm branches, putting them in the road, and he just began to traverse on the path. Pruning precedes progress. After the vehicle was prepared, the next thing that took place was the pruning. Now, when we start talking about pruning, people don't start getting up and shouting. They don't start speaking in tongues, falling out on the floor, running around. And when we start talking about pruning, everybody's like, uh-oh, set up straight. This is time to get serious. Because I don't think nobody really enjoys pruning. When the Lord says, hey, it's pruning time, I don't think that we just have parties and celebration, pruning parties, and say, yes, God is pruning me. Come on, guys, let's celebrate. Let's get this together. But watch this. What was pruned from the tree was placed in the path and became a gateway for the Lord Jesus to move into the city in a way that he had never moved before. What if we begin to view pruning in our life as a pathway and a gateway for the Lord Jesus to move into our lives in ways that we have never experienced him before? The next thing was that after the pruning process, you know, everybody's crying out, Hosanna, which is save us now. And everybody's just involved in this. This story is told in the four Gospels. And in the four Gospels, as it tells it, each one of them tells it from a different perspective. One of the Gospels says that the whole city was moved. I believe there is a frequency and a sound that is released in a city when a group of people come together to declare the majesty, the glory, the beauty, the wonder of who he is. In so much it says that the whole city was shaken. One of the translations, one of the gospels says that one of the religious leaders said, dude, the whole world just showed up. And all of that's going on, and yet Jesus, when he enters Jerusalem, begins to weep, and he says, if you only knew the hour of your visitation, all of the destruction that's about to hit this city could have been avoided. And I'm like, okay, I don't get it. How is it that the whole city is involved in this worship movement, but yet Jesus at the same time says, you guys don't get it? And the proof that they didn't get it was on Sunday, he's riding, and then by Tuesday, they're saying, crucify him, which proved that they didn't get it, that you can be involved in something and your heart still be far from him. So Mark chapter number 6 brings us to this area. It says that the Lord Jesus was known for his wisdom. Let's back up and show you what it says. in Mark chapter number 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, Jesus went away from there and came unto his own country and hometown, which was Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were utterly astonished, saying, where did this man acquire all of this? What is the wisdom, the full, broad, and full intelligence which has been given to him? What mighty works and exhibitions, power, are wrought through his hand? So they were amazed at his wisdom, and they were amazed at his works. You can't separate the works of Christ from the wisdom of Christ. And so when we're talking today about doing the works of Jesus and doing the greater works, I hear a lot of people going after the works of Jesus and the greater works of Jesus, but I hear very few people going after the wisdom of Jesus, which is what produces the works. And a lot of times we want to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and we pursue that instead of pursuing what produces the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. And the wisdom of God is conveyed through relationship. It is relational. It is relational. So, said it like this. Favor can get you in the door, but wisdom will keep you in the room. Wisdom will enable you to keep, steward, and increase what favor brings to you. Favor can bring many things to you, but without wisdom, it won't last. So he says in Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 23, he says, buy truth, buy wisdom, by instruction, and by, he tells us four things to buy. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. In other words, wisdom, truth, knowledge, or wisdom, truth, instruction, and understanding will cost us something. And he says, buy it, invest in it, and don't sell it. What amazes me is wisdom. First of all, wisdom is expensive. But you know what's more expensive than wisdom? Ignorance. So, you're going to pay for wisdom, or you're going to pay for ignorance. And if you are going to pay anyway, which one do you think that you should invest in? Wisdom. And so he says, buy wisdom. Invest in wisdom. It's funny. I would, early on, when I first started in ministry at 19 years old, Heather and I were married when I was 22. She was 19. And now, just a few years later, just a couple years later, I look back and I remember, it's like every time she would go to the salon to get her nails done and her hair done, I'd be like, how much that cost? She'd be like, that's $20. I'm like, I'm taking $20 and I'm fixing to go to the bookstore and buy me a book. I had no problem with you investing in your nails and your hair. No problem at all. But you know what? I'm going to invest in my mind. I am going to invest because we can invest in things that are temporary, or we can invest in things that are eternal. And I remember some people would come into after years of reading and accumulating different books. And I don't say you have to agree with everything that you read. You enjoy the good stuff and you spit out the bad stuff. But I remember somebody picking up one of my books and is like, how much was this book right here? And I mean, this is like 25 years ago. And I'd be like, dude, that one was $75. And like, how are you crazy? Why would you spend $75? And like, dude, I can take $75 and put it into a book that took this guy 45 years to acquire this revelation and insight, and I can glean from it in this book, and I can read this book in about 4 hours and start putting together a strategy on how to implement the wisdom from that by Holy Spirit into my life. And see, many people don't mind investing in a lot of things. They invest in the market, they invest in all kinds of different things, but very few people learn how to invest in themselves. And if we are going to be the manifested sons of God that all creation is groaning, longing, and waiting for, there has to come a time to where we choose to invest in ourselves. Else, he would never say in Proverbs 23:23, there's four things you got to buy. You got to buy truth, you got to buy wisdom, you've got to buy instruction, and you got to buy understanding, and don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. I'm saying all of this because at the moment that Jesus entered Jerusalem, he mourned, even after the great celebration, because he said these people do not discern the time of their visitation. They do not have the wisdom to understand exactly what is taking place. Joseph, when he was getting ready to die in Egypt, God had elevated him to this position where he's second in charge over all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh in title, gathers his family together at the end of his life and says, God will visit you, and when he visits you, take my bones from here and bring my bones into the promised land. Do you realize that 400 years later, when God sent Moses into Egypt to bring the Israelites out, do you know who came out with all of the Israelites? Joseph's bones. Why? Because he says, listen, God is going to visit you, and when he visits you, he's going to bring you out of what the enemy has tried to trap you in. And when he does, you got to bring... Why was it important for Joseph to have his bones not to remain in Egypt, but to come into the promised land? Because it represents... Just like as we opened up with, and I'll close with this, in Matthew chapter number 21, the first thing that Jesus said to begin Palm Sunday was, there is a donkey, I need you to go get it, you're going to untie it and bring it to me. What if this is the hour, this is the time where what was tied up is being untied? What was being held up, that thing that was in Egypt, that thing that was in bondage, that thing that moved Jesus from his current season into the season of the fulfillment of his purpose, the reason he was born, that thing had to be untied and released into his life to propel him. What if I would like to propose that this is the time, this is the day where Israel, what was tied up, is being loosed and released so that we may be propelled into the very purpose that we were put on this planet. The question is, can we discern what the Lord is loosing in our lives that will propel us from where we are into the reason, the purpose that we were put on this planet for? I think this is that time. I think this is that time. And Joseph knew that in the hour of visitation, that Yahweh would bring out the people And he says, you got to bring my bones with you. The bones represent the structure. Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37 that valley of bones. And he says, I don't want my bones to remain in bondage, but I want even the core, the essence of who I am when God visits to come out with the people of God. Dude, you talk about a level of commitment right there. To be able to see 400 years into the future and tell your grandkids, now you better listen. I know you're burying me up in the Dalton Cemetery right now, but God's getting ready to bring us all out into the promised land. You better dig me up and you better take me out with you better take me to the Bahamas with you when God brings us out and brings us into the Caribbean. Yeah, take up my bones. Take up. I mean, this guy was so committed to understanding that just how temporary that moment was and how eternal what was coming was going to be. I want, as we reflect this week, just how awesome the price that the Lord Jesus paid for us, the things that led up to the cross, the things that led up to the death, the things that led up to the resurrection, that we could see into those areas with insight that we've never had before, and to be able with a discerning heart to see the time of the visitation, because the visitation precedes the habitation. I believe ultimately it wants to be to where God says, hey, I want to go from visiting rites to we're habitating together. We are together. We are one. Amen. Questions, comments? All right, good. All right, let's pray. So, Lord, you're so good. Thank you for your visitation. Thank you for your habitation. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you for releasing and untying the vehicles of grace that need to be released in our lives to take us from where we are into the very purpose that we were put on this planet at this time. And Lord, I thank you for helping us to recognize those things, the times and the seasons. And our prayer is, kingdom of God come. Will of God be done here, now, just like it is in heaven. You know, I think one of the reasons the people went from crying Hosanna on Sunday to crucify him on Tuesday was because they thought it was going to be different than it was. They thought he would overthrow the Roman Empire, you know, and they thought they had all of these preconceived ideas. I was driving down the road a couple of weeks ago, and I think Holy Spirit just hit me with this right here. He said, what if forgiveness looks like this? What if forgiveness looks like not only receiving God's forgiveness and forgiving ourselves and all of that that encompasses, but what if forgiveness also looks like forgiving God for what you expected it to be and it turned out different than you thought it was going to, but then you can turn around and say, you know what, Lord, I forgive you that it did not turn out the way that I thought it was going to turn around. And in essence, it's actually a way of repenting and saying, my mindset was wrong about this, and I got upset because I thought you was going to do it this way, but you did it this way, or it looked a totally different way than you had ever thought. What if forgiveness is sometimes just saying, Lord, I just release you now for the expectation that I had on the thing that never happened. Now, I want to let you know that'll get you into some territory right there. We couldn't say that in a lot of places this night. But I want you to think about it. I want you to think about it. This is the time, and I'm prophetically declaring, this is the time of the release of what was tied up being loosed into our lives so that we can move forward into the purpose of Yahweh for our lives, the whole reason that we are here. Amen. All right. The Lord bless you. Thank you again for the opportunity.